Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. He shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all thy days forever. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not lend upon usury unto thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes, thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. We have sundry laws here. We can group them as laws of separation, laws of holiness, if you will, or holy separation. And then toward the end, we have laws of mercy. Laws of holy separation and laws of mercy. And we must understand that the Lord is a holy God. As we have been studying in the afternoon services, He requires a holy people, and that these commandments here in chapter 23 are not simply ways of healthy living. You know, you have to have a paddle, you have to dig and bury what comes from you so it doesn't infect the camp, so you don't ingest pathogens. That's not the point at all. The point is that God Himself walks in the midst of the camp, and because God Himself walks in the midst of the camp, we are to keep it clean. And clean in the ritual sense. Not clean in the tidy sense. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Sometimes cleanliness is not next to godliness. Most times it is. But there are some times when there are other things that must take precedence, as you all well know. So, we are separating them. We are separating out from between people and people, places and places, things and things, so that we might remind ourselves, the children of Israel might remind themselves, and we in reading this might remind ourselves that there is such a thing as clean and unclean. There is such a thing as holy and profane. There is such a thing as that which belongs in the presence of God and that which does not belong in the presence of God. And really, that's where it lives or dies, isn't it? To approach unto the Lord, to come unto Him, we must do so in a holy manner. We must be a holy people. And so, whatever it is that we do must exude, must testify to that holiness. In the New Testament, we still do continue the distinctions of clean and unclean. You say, uh-oh, where are you going with that? Well, I'm not going with animals, and I'm not going with places, and I'm not going with homes and clothing and all sorts of other things like that, but I am going with morals. Because uncleanness is still mentioned over and again in the New Testament. And that uncleanness works very well with that understanding that we had in the Old Covenant of those things that could not and would not and should not ever approach unto God because they were unclean. Now we think of that in the New Testament in terms of morality. And there are certain things that the Lord Himself calls morally unclean and hence are not fitting for us as God's people who are to maintain the standard of purity and cleanness. It's very clear. So when we talk about someone who has been accidentally castrated, he is not whole. Or we talk about someone who is not born of who is born out of wedlock. You see, there is a blight upon them. Now, are people that are out of wedlock, they're born out of wedlock, and people that are mutilated in our day, are they allowed into the church? Of course they are, because their cleanness is in Christ, and faith in Christ makes them whole. And of course, you have heard this before, but let me reiterate it to you so that you're reminded of it. We often marvel at the great love that King David had for the sanctuary of God. The reason we marvel in that, or the reason that David had such a great love for the sanctuary, or one of the reasons, is that he was the 10th generation from his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Perez, who was born out of wedlock between Judah and Tamar. Imagine the surprise on the face of Samuel when the Lord told him to go to the house of Jesse, one who could not even enter the worshiping congregation, to find the next king. And imagine David's wonder at being that tenth from Perez. And so he wrote, "How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me." Do you have such a love? What a wonder it is. So then we learn how to treat the heathen folks. They are not to come in. We don't let those come into the church and take the rule, do we? They don't come into the congregation. But we also learn the brotherly kindness that we ought to have. And so we see in Egypt and in Edom, we're to maintain love to the Edomites. In other words, to our earthly kindred, and also to those who have shown us kindness in the past. We're not to be unjust in that. And so there was always kindness enjoined upon the children of Israel toward Egypt, because they were to remember that they too were bondmen in Egypt and became great there. So then we have the separation of uncleanness of a man that is unclean in the night. He is to be separated from the congregation for a day. He is to wash himself when he rises in the morning, and he cannot come back into the assembly until it's sundown. Of course, for the Jews, that meant until the next day. All of these statutes teach us that we are to be a holy people, a clean people, ritually clean before the Lord our God. In other words, that we are to stand in Christ and in nothing of ourselves. And then we have that portion of verses 12 through 14 about the army, and it's part of their standard issue. They got a weapon, they got a shield, they got armament, they got sandals, they got a helmet, and they got a paddle, a trowel. And they were to go abroad, out into the wilderness, when they needed to relieve themselves. And they were to dig a hole and bury what came from them. Not bring that into the camp. They're to keep the camp clean. Again, ritually clean. Why? Because God dwells in the midst of the camp. And we've talked about these things. We remember how that Achan, by his sin, polluted the entire nation so that 53 in Israel died the next day when they went to conquer Ai. How that we must be a clean assembly. We must confess our faults, confess our sins one to another, and pray for one another that we may be healed and whole. So then, laws of compassion toward the end of the chapter. That we, as the people of God, are to be generous with our things. But our generosity is to be limited in certain ways. And it's just so very genius the way the Lord lays this out here. If you're hungry and you're in your neighbor's vineyard, whatever you can take with your hand and put in your mouth, you can eat. Well, in a vineyard, that's not going to be much, is it? It is going to be kindness to you if you're hungry, but it's not going to injure your neighbor. It's going to render him generous toward you. But you're not to be rapacious, so you can't put any in a bag. It's whatever you can put in your mouth. That's what you can have. Or in the next, it's if you're in your neighbor's wheat field and you're hungry, leave your sickle at home. As soon as you put a sickle to your neighbor's grain, you become a thief. But if you have taken of the heads, the standing heads, and you have rubbed them and blown away the chaff and consumed some of those kernels, you have taken the opportunity that your generous neighbor under God has given you. So we learn generosity there. And we learn that in our generosity, that those who are the recipients of our generosity are not to be rapacious in it and take advantage. All right. Thus ends the reading of Deuteronomy chapter 23.